Detroit averaged about 30,000 eviction filings per year between 2014 and 2018. The overwhelming majority of residents who face eviction now don't have an attorney to represent them in court. But as WDET's Laura Herberg reports, that's about to change.
Toshiba Ford lives with her significant other in her mom's townhouse on Detroit's west side. Ford says the place has rusty nails on the bathroom floor, a leak in the kitchen, and mold.
All my disabled mother wanted was simple repairs done, and now they want to throw her out.
On New Year's Eve, Ford says her mother received a letter stating that she was being evicted. The property manager said it was because Ford's partner allegedly threatened a plumber.
There was never a threat to the plumber. There was speak of frustration because they steadily sent the same plumber out that never corrected the repair, and we were frustrated.
Regardless, Ford and her family were faced with an eviction.
It's been mentally stressful. It's been physically stressful.
After months of feeling confused and overwhelmed, the family received help. Ford was connected to a lawyer from the nonprofit United Community Housing Coalition. He was able to negotiate an extra 3 months for Ford's family to move without getting an eviction on their record. Ford says assistance for Detroiters facing housing issues in court is crucial.
We need resources to lawyers, to legal people to help us in situations like this. You cannot do this on your own. You need help.
A new Detroit law that was passed unanimously by City Council on May 10th will do just that. It's called the Right to Counsel Ordinance because it provides legal counsel to low-income residents facing eviction, foreclosure, and issues related to land contracts. The legislation has been in the works for more than 2 years. It was drafted by Detroit City Council President Mary Sheffield in collaboration with the Right to Counsel Coalition, a group of lawyers and grassroots organizations. Sheffield spoke at a press conference with supporters the day before the ordinance was passed by City Council.
Out of the 30,000 eviction cases in Detroit, only 4% of those tenants had an attorney. Only 4%. Also, half of all of the evictions that took place in Detroit could have been avoided if they had an attorney.
Sheffield says evictions disproportionately impact households headed by Black women, seniors, and people with disabilities. But in a phone conversation in April, she said the ordinance isn't only about the people who are facing displacement.
And I think it's about, in my opinion, more importantly, stabilizing our neighborhoods. Because when people are evicted, it causes blight, which continues to deteriorate our communities and our neighborhoods.
Tanya Myers-Phillips is a leader of the Right to Counsel Coalition and one of the attorneys who helped draft the new rule. She says that in Detroit, an individual is 18 times more likely to remain in their home when they have a lawyer to help them during an eviction. But she says the new ordinance is not only expected to keep Detroiters in place, it's expected to keep money in the city.
Detroit receives an estimated $3,751 annually per resident in non-reimbursable federal funding. So when an individual is evicted and moves out of the city of Detroit, which is a trend that we notice is happening as well, that federal funding is lost.
While preventing evictions could help the city retain some funding, paying for lawyers will, of course, cost the city money. The Right to Counsel Coalition estimates that it will take about $17 million a year to fully cover the need. Detroit has budgeted $6 million in American Rescue Plan Act funds to pay for the program in its first year, and the city council hopes to do the same for the second and third years. But it's unclear where funding will come from when ARPA money runs out. The ordinance says any county, state, and federal funds or philanthropic dollars can be used. But the city's top lawyer, Conrad Mallett, says Detroit's constitution makes it clear that money cannot come from the city's general fund. Council President Sheffield says this is a setback. But she and the coalition are optimistic future funding for the ordinance can be secured from the general fund or elsewhere.
We want to get through the first 2 years. And then when we have about a year out, we're going to go back, hopefully, and revisit this conversation of general funds and then also look to see if there's additional state, county, or federal funds that can possibly be utilized to keep the program going.
At least 15 other cities and 3 states have found a way to fund their own Right to Counsel programs. New York City's law, which passed in 2017, is funded with general revenue. A report from New York City's Office of Civil Justice found that of tenants who acquired attorneys, roughly 85% were able to stay in their homes. But New York's model isn't without its issues. An article by Curbed reported that some organizations tasked with providing legal services to tenants in the city announced in April they would stop taking clients for at least a month because they did not have enough lawyers on staff to keep up with the court's schedule of landlord and tenant disputes. William McConico is the Chief Justice of the 36th District Court in Detroit. He says with about 320 cases a day, a lawyer shortage is a possibility here as well. But he's optimistic it could be avoided with the right recruitment.
After the pandemic, I believe people are more socially conscious. They are looking towards things such as shelter, things as water rights. And you have younger lawyers that aren't just looking to make money as lawyers, but they're looking to do something for the community.
Chief Justice McConico supports the right to counsel ordinance. He says the new law will make eviction proceedings more efficient because judges won't have to explain the legal process to non-represented defendants. And more importantly, he says, it will make the process more fair. I'm Laura Herberg, WDET News.